Okay, the boys, today's daf is Kif Aleph, and we're holding the Mishnah on Kif Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom. Rabbi Cohen says it's not Kif, but it's Kuf Amud Beis. Six lines from the bottom, we're starting a brand new Mishnah. The Mishnah, like all Mishnahis, is beautiful and it's wonderful, but it talks about the types of subjects that we prefer not to have to deal with. And that is, Rachmon Litzlan, if someone passes away, we have to find a Mokoyim Kever. Now, our Mishnah is going to tell us in the times of Chazal, they didn't bury like we bury today, underground in a normal Beis HaChaim. It was underground, but it wasn't each individual kever, each individual plot an individual grave in a larger plot. But rather, they used to go and dig out Ma'orais. Ma'orais is what we would call caves. In the good old days, they called it catacombs and other fancy schmancy words. And in those caves, they used to go and dig out in the walls, like holes, to put the mason inside that cave. And as we'll see in the Mishnah, there's going to be a big machlokes between Tanakama and Reb Shimon. When a person buys a mokum kever, how many kvarim are included? How many mi'orois are included? How many caves? How many coffins can one bury in each one of these caves? Mitzvah, it'll all become clear as we go through the Mishnah. So, Zok the Mishnah. Hamoichem mokim l'chaveir elasis l'kever. Person sells a mokim, a plot of land, for someone else to go and make a kever. V'chinam akavu mechaveir elasis l'kever. We have a contractor who took upon himself to go and build these catacombs, these ma'orois, for purposes of putting in mesim when they pass away. Zok the Mishnah, the minimum that a person has to go and give is oiset hoicho shel ma'ora dalet amois al sheish. You have to go and provide a ma'ara, which is four amois by six. Uboiseach lesoicho shemoina kuchen, and it should have enough room to be able to go and open up in it, in this ma'ara, in this cave, eight kuchen means like eight windows, eight holes dug into the ground. The fancy language in the art scroll is recesses in the ground. And there should be enough room for eight of these kuchen. Kuchen means the place where the oroin is going to be inserted for burial. Shalosh mikan, b'shalosh mikan, ushnayim kenegdan. Three on one side, three on the other side, and two opposite the entryway into this ma'ar. Now, what is this all about? So, to give us a little bit of a sense how this works, we have pictures here on Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph in the Rashi or Rishbam. You see in the first picture, you see it says the ma'ara, the left-hand side it says ma'ara, and then it says Chotzer Vov Al Vov in the middle. We're going to focus just on one ma'ara at the moment. Notice that the ma'ara has these things sticking out on all directions, in all directions. Those things sticking out are the kuchen. Kuchen are the places where you're going to insert chas v'sholom and oroin if someone passes away. How many kuchen are there altogether? So as you see in that picture, eight. On the top there are three, two there to the right, and three down below is eight altogether. Now how do you get to a cheshbon of eight? We're going to see the Rishbam shortly. Each one of the kuchen is one amma wide. So let's just take the top three. Each one is one amma wide. In between one kuch and the other kuch is also one amma. The reason why you need so much space is because it'll be any closer, then the wall might collapse between the two kuchen, and then the two oroinais would touch each other, it would kind of merge. And we want to give each person their own burial plot. So, those three, therefore, occupy three amas in the width. Each one is one amma wide. And in between the two kuchen is also one amma wide. So you have five all together. But in addition to the five all together, as you'll notice, right past the rightmost top kuch, there's a little bit of additional space. And then you go to a small little corner over there. And that little additional space is a half an amma. And the same thing is to the left of the leftmost of the top kuchen. Left of that is also such a small little space before you hit the chatzer, and that's also half an amma. So if you have half an amma plus a half an amma is an amma, plus the three kuchen or three ammas is four, plus the two in the middle is six. And therefore the top wall has in it three kuchen for six ammas. And the same thing applies down below, also for six ammas. Now turning to the right. Near the right, you have altogether four ammas. How are those four ammas occupied? The same cheshbon as before. Two kuchen, each one is wide. One amma is two ammas. In between each one is one amma, is three. And to the right and to the left means a little bit higher and a little bit lower is another half an amma and half an amma. The two half ammas is one amma. The two kuchen are two additional ammas. The one space in the middle is also one amma, is four. And that's why our Mishnah said that the mokoyim ma'ara in this, the dimensions of the ma'ara are 4 by 6. If you go back again to the Mishnah on the third line, after person makabel mechavei lasas on kever, oyset toicha shel ma'ara, the inside of the ma'ara has to be dalat ames al sheish, 4 by 6. The 4 by 6 are to allow on the 4 side. That's where you're going to have the 2 kuchen. And on the 6 side, you're going to have 3 and 3. And that's why the Mishnah says, ubatech l'toicha shemayna kuchen. You can open up recesses in the inner walls of this ma'ara, totaling 8. How? Sholish mikan, 3 on the top. Sholish mikan, 3 in the bottom. Shnayim mikanegdan, and 2 opposite the entryway into the ma'ara down when a person walks in. And if you have 8 all together. And the Mishnah continues, the kuchen orchon arba amis. The length of each one of these kuchen was 4 amis long. So when you see each one of these things which are protruding in the picture, these kuchen, the length of each of these kuchen was 4 amis. Why was it 4 amis? Explains Rishbam. Because the average individual is 3 amis tall. And we add a little bit more for the thickness of the walls of the Aron. The Aron itself is presumably a quarter amma or half an amma on the right and half an amma on the left. In other words, at the side of the Rosh and the side of the Raglayim. So you add everything together, you get to 4 amis. The Tosis argues with Rishbam. He not only argues over here, but he argues throughout Shas that whenever the Gemara refers to a person being 3 amos tall, it always means up to the neck. And from the neck and higher, the person, that's in addition to the 3. And so therefore, each person is roughly 3 1/4, 3 1/2 amos tall. That being the case, that's the reason why you need the 4 amos for the 3 1/2 amos of the mess and the additional thickness of the walls of the Aron. All of that together adds up to 4.
So let me ask you something. In Prague, in the days of Prague, they ran out of space and they had to bury people on top of each other, that they have to do this, four arms between each one of the mason, or is it only here in the case where you're burying in a cave?
There are rules and regulations regarding burying one mason on top of another, that there also has to be a space. What the amount of the space is, I don't know.
This is not negated to that.
It's not negated. Uh-huh. This is more for the mechanical, technical aspects. Uh-huh. You want to be able to do in a way that the whole thing doesn't just collapse. So therefore you have to leave enough room between one mace and the other mace so that if you're going to have less than an amma between one and the other, the wall in between is going to be so flimsy, we're afraid that it's going to crumble to pieces, and you're not going to have separate crypts, separate recesses. It's all going to become one large thing, and then the top of it might fall.
I think it could collapse.
Yeah, exactly. So we want the home order to have its stability. Anyway, and the bottom line continues on. The kuchen are orkon arba amis, have to be 4 amis tall. V'royman sheva, and the height, meaning from the floor of each one of these kuchen to the top, the ceiling of these kuchen, had to be 7 tefachim tall. So therefore the dimensions now are 1 amma wide, 7 tefachim tall, and 4 ammas in the depth, the length of the kuchen. Why did it have to be 7 tefachim tall? Explains the Rishbam. The person himself occupies an amma. Mara says often, gavra ba'amsa yosef, in other words, the width of the individual is assumed to be an amma, gesundheit. An amma is 6 tefachim. We have to add one more tefach. Number one says Rishbam, so it should be easy to go and pull the oron in and out. Because if you're going to do it precisely, then it's going to be problematic to go and fit the oron into that space. But over and above that, says Rishbam, because we want there to be an avir tefach inside the coffin, above the individual, by having this or on top of the coffin, we want to have an extra amma, an extra tefach, and that tefach will prevent the tumah from being bekas the yotze, so that if somebody's walking on top, unaware of the fact that there happens to be a kuch and a mace underneath, he won't have to worry about becoming tamei because of the fact that there is an extra additional tefach of space.
And one small question.
Yes.
When a mace is interred in a kever, above him is the ground. The ground is not makabel tuma.
You can't go on a kever, then you are makabel tuma. But if it's in a wall, you're not standing on it. So being close to it, I don't think there's a possibility. How do you apply the halachas today, as far as the cemeteries we have today, compared to the halachas that they talk about? Today, how do you? They don't apply to the ground because it's not.
You're a kohen. Do you go into a cemetery?
No, I'm just. Why
don't you go?
Speaking.
I'm halachically speaking. Why don't you go into a cemetery if you feel that there's ground on top and everything
Wait
is fine?
Wait a second. Some people, his people, used to go on cemeteries.
His people.
Still,
and what about my people?
Kashav, Koyhanu, Masasek, and Skrul.
That you're talking about rebbes. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a regular, normal nifter now. But talking about a regular normal nifter.
If someone the book, they had Koyanim. This rabbi told Koyanim not to do what they did by the Rasha. They were Masasek and Skruma.
Anyway, you're raising now an extraneous
they say
issue.
Tzaddik is not Matamei, okay? Again, so this rabbi.
Mahashir wants to continue with the Shir, though.
Yeah, exactly. We can talk about this on Hashir. But let's continue on. We're talking about the dimensions of the Kuch happened to be 4 Amis long, one amma wide and 7 tvachim high or tall. For Rachman Shisha, you have on the top of the amud on top of Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph, and the width has to be 6 tvachim. Now, everything that we've said so far is according to Tanna Kamma that each ma'ara was 4 by 6. Reb Shimon expands the ma'ara and he makes it from 4 by 6 to 6 by 8, and as a result of that, he adds to the number of kuchen that can fit into every one of the ma'aras. So Reb Shimon Aimer, Oise Toicha Shel Ma'ara, Sheish Amos Al Shemayna, 6 by 8, and as a result of Pesach LeToicha, Shloisha Osar Kuch. Instead of having 8 Kuchim, you have 13 altogether. How do you get to 13? Arba Mikan, Varba Mikan, Ushloisha Mikenegdan. Ve'echa Mimina Pesach, Ve'echa Min Hasmal. What is Reb Shimon saying? So, let's take the easy part of Reb Shimon first, and that is, remember we said that the kuchen according, or the ma'ora, according to the Tanna Kamma, were dimensions of 4 by 6. What Reb Shimon does is he expands it on each side, 2 more amas. Instead of 4 by 6, it's 6 by 8. By definition, by adding 2 more amas, you can add 1 more kuch, and 1 more space between the kuch and another kuch. So therefore, for instance, going again to the top picture that we have, where we said that was 4 by 6, so we were looking at the right hand side of the where it says chotzer in the middle. We were looking at the right hand side where it says ma'ara. The reason why we only had 3 protruding at the top, 3 kuchen, was because we only had space for 6. And we said, how do you get 3 kuchen and 6 amois? You start off with a half an amma before any one of these kuchen starts. Then you have the kuch, which is 1 amma. You have a space of an amma, a kuch of an amma, a space of an amma, a kuch of an amma, and once again, a chutzi amma. So therefore, making it simple, 3 kuchen are 3 ammas. The 2 spaces in between is 2 more is 5 ammas. Chutzi amma mikan, the chutzi amma mikan, you have 6 ammas. Well, let's now go and add 2 amois to the equation. By adding 2 more, you can add in 1 more kuch and 1 more space of an amma between those 3 and the 4th one that you're going to add. So as a result, we have now 1 kuch on top, more than we had previously. We have 1 more kuch on the bottom that we had previously. And the same thing to the right. When we're talking about before that there were 4 amois, we were able to squeeze in 2 kuchen, a space in between, Chutzi amma mikan v'chutzi amma mikan, by expanding that from the 4 amos to 6 amos, so now we can add 1 more kuch. instead of having two chum, we'll have three. The three kuchen will have in between them, the two spaces will be five, and then the top and the bottom will have another half an amma, will be six. So therefore, according to Reb Shimon, we've now added one more kuch on each side. Instead of three, plus two, we're going to have four, plus three. 4 plus 4 plus 3, of course, adds up to 11. All that is fine. Reb Shimon, however, says that there are 13. Where is that additional 13? He says, because Echem min ha-pesach v'echem min ha-smal. One to the right of the entrance, and one to the left. Where exactly that is, the Gemara will come up with at least three possible alternative explanations. We'll see that in Yet Shem as we get into the Gemara. All we've spoken about so far, Abba Yisai, are the dimensions of the Ma'ara and the Kuchen. What the Mishnah now adds is one more ingredient. V'oise chotzer al pi ha-ma'ara, sheish al sheish, kim loy hamita v'koivreha, u'poiseach l'soyecha shtei ma'arais, achas mikan v'achas mikan. What the Mishnah is telling us now is that even though until now we've only focused on the construction of one ma'ara, when the Mishnah began and said, ha-moicher mochem l'chaber, lasat l'keiver, he wasn't only referring to one ma'ara, he was referring to, really, two ma'arais, and a chotzer in between. What's that chotzer in between? The chotzer in between was, if you will, a parking lot, a brief parking lot, where when the noisei hamita were carrying the aron from the chapel, from the shul, from wherever they originally picked up the aron from, they're now getting ready to lower this aron down into the ma'ara below. So you have to have a landing space, a parking space, if you will. And that's this chotzer of 6x6, where until everybody's ready to go to the actual kvura, they're standing there on top. Perhaps at that time they're saying the tzedek adin, maybe a last minute hesped, maybe the kaddish, metakriya. That's the final resting space for the living who are holding on to the mita. And then, when they're all done, they're going to go down the steps, or down the ramp, or whatever connects between the level soil earth up above and this subterranean cave down below. They will go and walk down and take the aron, of course, with them and insert it in one of those kuchen. So that place above, before they actually take themselves and go down into the ma'ara, that's called a chotzer. And the shear of that is vav al vav, 6x6. And that's why in the top picture, you didn't just have one ma'ara, you have two ma'aras with a chotzer in between. Ma'ara 1, ma'ara 2, chotzer in between. So someone who buys from someone else a mokum for a kever, today one would think you're talking about just one burial spot in this whole big cemetery among this big plot. What the Gemara is telling us is that the Mishnah, no. Mokum a kever means two ma'arais with a chotzer in between, and according to the Tanna Kamma, you're talking about altogether 16 actual burial plots within this larger mokum. 8 kuchen in ma'ara 1, 8 kuchen in ma'ara number 2, 16 altogether, and this chotzer in between, which acts as the final entryway or parking space or whatever you want to call it, before they actually lower the aron and the noseh mita down into the ma'ara below, to be able to go and bury the niftarim inside the kuchen. That's according to the Tanna Kamma. Reb Shimon respectfully disagrees. Remember, Reb Shimon already disagreed in one respect. He said the ma'aris have to be larger, not 4x6, but 6x8. But Reb Shimon also says, in addition to having two ma'aris, you have four ma'aris. Reb Shimon oimer arba li arba ruchoisel. Therefore, if you go to the picture immediately beneath it, you see that picture is somewhat more colorful in a sense, because you have the chotzer in between, you have a ma'ara to the right, a ma'ara to the left, like you had on top, but you also have a ma'ara on top, and a ma'ara on the bottom. So therefore, when a person is buying a makom kever, he's not just buying 16 kvarim, he's buying 4 times 13 kvarim. 4 times 13 comes out to be roughly 52 kvarim, and those 52 kvarim are the 52 kuchen, 13 in each one of the four ma'arais, surrounding that chotzer vav al vav. Finally, Rav Shimon Gamliel, I mean, Rav Shimon Gamliel doesn't get into the machlokes between the 4 and the 6, and the 6 and the 8, and or how many ma'arais. He only really addresses one issue. And he says that the reason why we keep on talking about 8 kuchen according to the Tanakhama, and 13 kuchen according to Rav Shimon, is because we have to leave space of an amma in between one kuch and another kuch. Says Rav Shimon Gamliel, that's if you're talking about normal, regular soil that has a certain consistency to it, and therefore to keep this kuch and to keep the whole ma'ara intact so that it doesn't all collapse and fall apart, that's the amount of space you have to between kuch 1 and kuch 2, you have to have at least an am. But what happens if, in fact, you are digging out a ma'ara into, not into soil, but into rock, and you're doing with big drills and really digging it out, and you did a great job, the rock is so strong that then instead of just making only 3 kuchen per wall, you could perhaps even squeeze in 4 kuchen per wall, because you don't need a full space of an amma to keep the stability and integrity of each one of these kuchen. If it's made out of stone, perhaps you only need one etzba, 2 etzbais. And therefore you can go and throw in yet another kuch, or add it to the equation. And the other way around too. If it happens to be extremely soft soil that falls apart very easily, you might not be able to put in 3 kuchen. You might only be able to put in 2, or maybe only 1. It's hakalafia, fiasel. Everything depends on the strength of the earth and the soil, whether it's a rocky type of soil, etc., etc. With this, going through this whole Mishnah now, we're going to take a quick look at the Rishbam, who explains it all in very fine detail, the way we just went through it. So going back to the Rishbam on Kuf Amid Beis, sixth line of the wide lines, where it says Mishnah, Las is like Kever. Says Rishbam, V'heim lo yehoyu regilim likover echad b'fnei atzmai. It wasn't the common practice like we do today to just to buy and make one individual grave per person. Mm-hmm. It was a full family plot that the whole mishpacha was buried in one cave. It's not that they just threw in 20 family members in one ma'ara. Each one had their own kuch, their own recess into the walls of the ma'ara. If you are in the business of selling mekoymes for kvarim, what you sold was not one individual kever, or even one individual ma'ara, but 2 ma'arais and the chatzah in between. Included in this package was not only the chatzah and the ma'arais, but also the mokum ha'kuchen, which all extended outwards for amois. Reb Shimon, it wasn't 2 ma'aris, it's 4 ma'aris. And according to Reb Shimon, it wasn't 4 by 6, it was 6 by 8, as we saw before. Oysa toicha shel ma'ara, kolaymar. Oysa chalola shel ma'ara. Chalol means the empty space in the ma'ara. When you go down from the chotzer above, you're walking down below into the ma'ara. How much space is there? Dalet amois roichav. 4 amos by 6. The goyva ma'ara mafurish b'tisefta, even though our Mishnah doesn't address it. After all, the people have to stand there down below in the ma'ara to insert the mason inside the recesses inside the kuchen, so they don't want to bang their heads against the ceiling of the ma'ara. So it has to be at least 4 amos tall.
What's the basis where he comes off to pick up these numbers? How do they get the numbers? When they have these numbers, how do they go about between one?
All these mishnayos that we're talking about is basically codifying what the minig was in those days. If the minig were to change, and
they have different opinions about what, so to have different minhagim.
Yes, so the enochalamis, you have different opinions here, whether the common practice was 4 by 6 or 6 by 8, and whether it was 2 ma'aris were included or 4 ma'aris were included, machloikis here in the Mishnah.
Right, but I'm saying that I think what you're saying is that the source of how they came up with these minhagim, mm-hmm, has to do with the measurements, the practical measurements.
So how do you come to halacha? You're supposed to follow minig. So the halacha doesn't apply.
If you remember in the previous Mishnah, we spoke about if a person sells to someone a derech hayochid, or a derech harabim, or a derech hakever, a mamod, all that the Mishnah was telling us is a derech hayochid, it's 4 amos, derech harabim is 16 amos, and so on and so forth. That's what the rule is if you don't specify in your contract. You could write a contract and you say, I don't want to have 2 ma'aris like the Tanakhama, I want 3, or I want 4. Or I only need 1 more. I have a small family. I don't need so many kuch. I don't need so many mesim. I have something small. Our Mishnah is talking about a case when you have stam. 2 people contracted to go and sell a piece of property.
So that's based on milistam.
Based on what the common practice.
Unless you specify specifically.
Exactly right. Unless you specify specifically and precisely and meticulously, stam selling in mokum kever meant 2 ma'oris with a chotzer in between.
So you're allowed to go against the minig if the minig was a certain way.
It's not you're going against it because it's not talking. It's not
following a different minig.
Exactly, a different minig.
This is not a Jew. This is not a religious custom type of thing. Of course, burying inside a kuch, inside a ma'ara is religious. Yes, and you say a tzedek adin, you say tefillis, and the kel mulei has paid them. The person was a wonderful tzaddik and erechid. All that's religious. But now we're talking about the monetary aspect. The monetary aspect is that if a person wants to go and buy a family plot for his mishpucha, so how much was the normal dimensions of that? Reuven says to Shimon, I have a piece of land, I'll sell it to you for kvarim. Oh, how much are you charging me? $1,000. Good. They signed the agreement, he pays $1,000, we're done. What did he buy as part of this burial arrangement? What he has bought is a chotzer with 2 ma'oris extending from the chotzer in 2 directions, and each one of the ma'oris has to be 4x6, and the chotzer on top has to be 6x6, and inside the ma'ori he has to go and carve out in the wall 8 kuchen, and therefore 8 plus 8 is 16. That's because that was the common practice and usage in terms of contractual terms. But you could contract to make more or to make less. I don't need such a big kuchen. I take a small, whatever. Stam are all of these shiurim that we have here in the Mishnah. So getting back now to the Rishbam, Mateach l'soicha, that's halfway, about 8 lines into the Rishbam where it says Mishnah. Upaiseach l'toicha, choyfer b'koyst le'amara, v'nimtzu p'suchem l'chalala, that you paiseach l'soicha means choyfer, you dig into the walls of this ma'ara, and now after you've dug him out, all of these kuchen are now open to the middle cholol, that open ear space down below in the ma'ara. Sholosh mikan bekoisel orach sheish amis shemiyamin ha-pesach. V'chein bekoisel sheini shemis moel ha-pesach. Each one of them you're going to go and insert 3 kuchen on the right side and on the left side. Ushnam kenegdoi shel pesach bekoisel emtzoi shenoch beidalad. And on the other side facing you, kenegdoi, when you enter into the ma'ara, on the wall facing you, you dig out 2 more, 3 plus 3 plus 2. And now says Rishbam b'chein tzidran, how does it work out? We explained all of this before. Marchik chatzi ama mizovis ha-koisel ha-oruch shol tzad ha-pesach. First you leave a space of a half an ama, v'choy for kuch, and then you go and dig out your first kuch, roch of shishu tzvachem, the hainu ama, another ama. Umeini ha-koisel ama, leave a koisel ama in between where you're not going to make a kuch, in other words, make a machitza of a koisel amma, a space of a koisel amma. V'choy v'kuch sheni, now dig out a second kuch, which is also an amma wide. V'mineach koisel amma, and again leave over a space of 1 amma of wall. V'choy v'kuch shlishi, and dig out a third amma. V'mineach atzi amma, b'zavius panosas koisel shel vavanas. L'shloish ha-kuchem. And therefore what happens now is that this wall, you have established 6 amos for 3 kuchen. How do you get the 3 kuchen altogether? So he says, "Lishloisha kuchen, you have gimel amos. That's 3 amos. Lishne avirim shebinem, you have 2 amos. You have the 2 spaces. It's 2 amos. 2 plus 3 is 5. Lishne azovias, and each one on the right hand side and the left hand side, the 2 corners, you have chutzi chutzi amma, half and a half. The hainu, add that together, you get another amma. So you have 3." Plus 2, plus 1 minus vav amas is 6 amas altogether. And the same thing is on the other larger, longer wall of 6 amas. Okay, and the exact same formation we're going to do. We're going to do the exact same detailed manufacturing and digging out of the kuchen. How do we do it? Again, Meniach Chutziyama Bezovius Mekan, a half an Amma. V'Chutziyama Bezovius Hasheni on the other side. V'Choy V'Beis Kuchen Shel Beis Amois. You're going to go and dig out two Kuchen, each one being one Amma wide, is now two more Amois. V'Revach B'Neim Amma, and in between the two Kuchen, you're going to have a space of one Amma. So the half an Amma plus half an Amma is one. The two Kuchen is two more is three. The space in between. Hari arba amos, the kuchen arba amos orkan. The depth, the length of each kuch is four amos long. Shamis orkan shalish amos. The stames is three amos, or like Tosis says, three amos plus. Uvishol orange munach baitzerch amravit. Because of the orange, you have to add a drop more, so it should add up altogether to four of these, and because the arn has thickness of the top and the sides and this and that, so you have to compensate for that too. Four amos long. V'roim and shiva. The height of each one of these kuchen was seven tvachim. Number one, l'hachdas arn berevach, to allow the arn to go in easily, because the assumption is that the person himself, from his nose down to the back of his skull and from the top of his belly to the bottom, that's an amma, six tvachim. However, you want to be able to easily move the aron in and out. So to move it in and out, you have to add one more tefach. V'gam, and now for halachic purposes, liyos avir tefach v'nakak l'aron, so that there should be an avir v'tefach, although it says karka, it doesn't mean the bottom, it means the ceiling of the kuch, to the aron there should be a poseach tefach. So the tamei o'ivrim derech amar, people that are walking on top, they should not become tamei because of being mal alames down below. So that's according to the Tanikam. According to Rev Shimon, says Rishbam on top, Rabbo Mikan, you're going to have the same cheshbon as before. What's in the eight amma wall? Dalet amas l'roichem v'dalet kuchen. You have the four kuchen, each one which occupies a width of an amma, that's four. V'gimel amas l'roichem v'avira shebeneim. You have the three amas of space in between the four, so that's 3 plus 4 is 7. Ushnei chatzor yam, lishnei hazav, yishalei sekoisel, hari chesamas, the same cheshin mamish like we had before. Ech mi mina pesach, mi smayla pesach, mi mor mefarish, echi kaimi, how did that work out? Yes.
Two words on the top of the Rach ben Shisha, what is that referring to?
Rach ben Shisha is referring to the width of each one of the kuch, which each time the Rishbam refers to that as one amma, that's six tvachim. So you have this nice recess inside the wall. What are the dimensions of that recess? The width is six tvachim, which is one amma. The height is seven tvachim. And the depth, all the way in, is four ammas long. Good. Yeah?
The way that is, what we didn't get to it, but in the picture, we have Rav Shimon, he has them stacked in two different levels.
Mm-hmm.
Could the Tanakh have done the same thing, and instead of having just the 8 day, he had an additional 16 and 32?
How would you have more?
Because in order for Rav Shimon to be able to have the overlapping kuchen in the immediate in the corners of the chutzpah, he had to have them staggered at two different levels, correct?
That's what we're going to address in the Gemara Miyat Hashem here in the Amud Aleph and the Amud Beis. You don't have to be sorry. You're always ahead of us, and Baruch Hashem, you have a good mind, and we're going to address the overlapping. What Barry's referring to is in the bottom picture, you'll notice in the corners of each one of them arays, you have almost like a what do they call it? Tic-tac-toe
or
a crossword puzzle, whatever you have, that it crosses one on top of the other. So it's not that the kuchen go and collide with one another. In fact, they're staggered. One are higher, two are higher, and two are lower. We'll let Mitchum address that in the Gemara when we get there. Okay. Anyway, so far, so good. So why don't we just do a quick run through the Mishnah again, so we have all of it crystal clear. Start the Mishnah. Nachamul kifam beis hamoich hamakom lechaver lasis lekever. A person is contracting to go and buy a mokum for a kever. V'chinam akav mechaver lasis lekever, or someone contracted to dig out and create the kvarim. What is the minimum that a person has to do? Oisa toicha shel ma'ara. You have to go and sell as part of this arrangement. One ma'ara, as we'll see in the Mishnah later, it's really two ma'arais altogether, but now we're focusing on dimensions of each ma'ara. The ma'ara down below has to be a space of 4 by 6, dal amis al sheish. Why 4 by 6? Because then you have space to dig out recesses in the walls of this ma'ara. Shemoyne kuchen, 8 altogether. How do you get to 8 altogether? Sholish mikan, 3 in the area of the six amos. Why three in the six? Because each one of them is one amma wide. You have the two spaces in between is five amas. And chutzi am mikan, the chutzi am mikan is six altogether. Sholosh mikan, sholosh mikan. Ushnaim mikan egdan, and two facing you when you get into the ma'ara, because it's only four wide on that side. Since it's only four wide, you need two amas for the kuchen. One amid space in between is three, and then chutzi am is four. And as we said, the kuchen, the length of each kuchen is arkan arba amos. V'royman and the height is sheva, seven tvachim, six plus one. V'rochman shisha, and the width of each one of the kuchen is six tvachim wide, which we keep on referring to as one amma. Six tvachim is the same as one amma. That's the Tanakam. Reb Shimon Omer, I agree in principle, but in fact, in the construction, it wasn't a ma'ara of 4x6, it was a ma'ara of 6x8. Ois the toicha shal ma'ara, sheish amos al shmoina. Upsech the toicha shloisha aser kuch, 13 altogether. Arba mikan, in the space where you have the 8 amos. In other words, one wall that has 8 amos, you have the 4 kuchen. 4 kuchen occupies 4 amos. 3 spaces in between, another 3 amos, 7. Chutzi amikan, chutzi amikan. You have 8 altogether. Ushloish mikenegdan, since the other wall has 6, so you make 3 kuchen. Again, 3 kuchen is 3 amos themselves. 2 spaces in between is 5. Chutzi amikan, chutzi amikan. You have 6 altogether. And in addition to that, Rav Shimon is machadesh. Vechemin min apesam, vechemin a smoil. And that we're going to focus on in the Gemara, how that works out. On top, before you go down into the Ma'ara, you have a landing space of sheish or sheish, 6x6. Kimaloi hamita v'koivrea, to leave space for those people that are going to be the koivrei hamita. So, before they go down into the Ma'ara, they stand there on top, waiting for everybody to get assembled, waiting to go into the last fillers, taking their last goodbyes from the mess, etc., etc. That's on the 6x6. And after that, they walk down into the cave down below to go and bury the nifter inside one of the kuchen. Each one of the chatzeirois that we're talking about had three ma'aris attached to it, one from the right, one from the left. It wasn't two, but it was four ma'aris. B'Shem Gamliel says that all these dimensions that we spoke about really are not uniform and universal. It depends on the thickness, the consistency, the stability of the ma'ara and the soil that you're using. If the soil happens to be your regular, ordinary soil, okay, so that would be the regular, ordinary earth. That would be akin to what we were talking about in the Mishnah. However, if you're talking about much harder soil, which is rock-like in texture and in thickness, then you don't need to have a full amma space in between. It would be enough to have a half an amma in between, or maybe even less than that. And if it's very, very soft soil, then it wouldn't be enough just to have an amma. Maybe you'd have to have two ammas in between. And therefore, it really depends on the earth. Good. Jokdimar. Hani trei lehechi shodi lehu. We're focusing now smack on what Reb Shimon said, that we're adding two more. Remember, you refer to it echem mi mina pesach vi echem min asmal. Where do you put those two? Hani trei lehechi shodi lehu. I lebroi ha kamitishi luhu. If you're going to tell me that they're going to go towards the out, then people are going to be standing on top of it. Now, what does that mean? What does he mean to say? What he means to say is, when we are going down from the chotzer up above, and we're going down below into that space of 4x6, or 6x8, depending on who you hold like. But now we're referring to Reb Shimon, because Reb Shimon says we're adding these two additional ones, so it's 6x8. So we've only focused on kuchen on the three walls. The right wall, the left wall, and the front wall. Front meaning the one that is facing the person when he goes down into the ma'ara below. What about the wall of the entranceway, when the person is walking down the steps, down into the ma'ara? So there was also a wall behind him, which he's entering into now. Why don't you go and make in those walls also a couple of ma'ares, or a couple of kuchen, I should say. It doesn't say how wide the gangplank or the ladder or the steps were. Let's assume it was one amma, two ammas wide to allow people to walk down and carry the meat at the same time. So, maybe the pshat in Reb Shimon is that to the right of the entranceway and to the left of the entranceway, in the back of the individual, in other words, when you are finally landed down below on the floor of the Ma'ara, so instead of seeing only, according to the Reb Shimon, four kuchen.
Four kuchen to the right.
Well, it's actually in the pictures, it's four kuchen on the top, four on the top. Okay, but let's talk about on the right. Yeah. Four kuchen on the right and four kuchen on the left and three kuchen facing him. If he were to go and make a quick, sharp right turn and look at the wall from where he just entered into the kuchen, in other words, into the ma'ara, immediately to the right of this steps, gangplank, ladder, whatever, that he was able to get down into the ma'ara, if you look immediately to the right and kind of turn around, in that wall, you could put one on the right, and it turns to the left, you could put one in that wall to the left. L'chayre, that makes a lot of sense, and that would be l'chayre what Reb Shimon is referring to.
And that would be under the chatzer, basically. That would basically...
Exactly, be under the chatzer up above. And that's the Gemara's kasha. Harkamitchi lahu, people are treading on it up above when they are standing on that landing in the chatzer above. And that could affect the stability and the integrity of those kuchen. Meaning, because if you look at the picture, it's easy to look at the picture on top, because you don't get confused with all of this overlapping and the four ma'arets. So you look at the picture on top and you see ma'ara to the right, ma'ara to the left. The person is entering into the ma'ara from the chotzer above. So when he gets down into where it says in the picture, it says the word ma'ara, if a person is standing there, that's fine. And if a person is standing on top of the Mara, in other words, if you would drill a hole straight up to get up on top of the Mara, he would be standing on this empty space. So there's no problem in that respect. However, if a person is now digging kuchen on the right and on the left of the staircase where he went down from the chotzer, where would those kuchen be? They would be underneath the chotzer itself. Because see, people are standing in the chotzer vav al vav. Try to picture in your own mind people walking now in that upper picture from the chotzer, they're walking down below. They see to the right three, to the left three, two in front of them, according to the Tanna Kamma. According to Reb Shimon, it would be four and four and three. And now, if to the right and to the left of where he was previously standing, where he came down the staircase, were you to go and dig out two kuchen, those two kuchen would be directly underneath the chotzer from where the people went down in the first place. That would be problematic, because that would affect the integrity and the stability of those two kuchen, because people stand on that chotzer, vav, 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 sometimes for 10 minutes, sometimes for half an hour, sometimes for an hour. Depends how many espedim. It depends which roof you're waiting for. It depends if there's a third cousin coming from California who's just about to come into Canada, and you have to wait for him to come. So there could be extended periods of time that people are standing on top of this chotzer, which would be on top of the kuchen, and the kuchen would collapse and fall apart.
You're not worried about this thing, about traffic above the other kuchen, because it's so sporadic. It's only over in this chotzer area because of the congestion.
That is exactly right. So the Rishbam continues on and says that's only if you're talking about kuchen underneath the chotzer. I'm not worried about the kuchen that extend on the right and the left and on the other side from the Mara, even though when people are carrying the mess to the chotzer, they're going over that ma'ara. And you're going to tell me, no, not necessarily, because after all, it's only ma'ara on the right and ma'ara on the left, and therefore they can go from the top or the bottom. But remember, we're talking according to Reb Shimon. According to Reb Shimon, there are ma'aris in all four directions. So anywhere that you're going to do to get to the chotzer,
you have to travel over
kuchen down below. Says the Rishbam, that's not a problem, because that's only a temporary thing that people are walking over the kuchen. They're not standing there, staying there, parking there, sitting down on the ground. They're not waiting to hear their spadim, but rather they're just carrying the mess just temporarily, quickly, over the kuchen to that chotzer, that landing space. That being the place there, I'm not concerned about the integrity of the structure of the kuchen down below. But on the chotzer, if you're going to tell me that underneath that you are digging out kuchen, because there every levaya, they stay there at least 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, hour, whatever, until they're finally ready to go and lower the mess down into the mar. See, if you look at the Rishbam, looking down the third wide line, at the end of the line it says ha, and then we start the next line, kamichichi, the word Mitzvah comes like from the word dosh, like you're threshing, you're pounding. Beragle noise hamita v'kivreha shemoshivin shom hamita umishtoim shom harbe. On the chotzer, the noise hamita and the koivrim, the grave diggers, the people are going to go and do the actual kvura, the chaver kadisha, etc. They put down the mita, mashivin shom hamita umishtoim shom harbe, and they wait there for some extended period of time. Espedim tzidikadin kail mule kriya. A kaddish, whatever. For the davening litrisis noise hamita shadorsin al gabi hamoores hamu kafis mikolzad kishmeviyem es hamita lechotzer. Why don't we have the same problem in that case? Just from the walking over the maores, since there are four maores in all directions, you're walking over some kuch somewhere to get to that middle chotzer. That's not a problem. To hasam bishol hiluch lefishah. Since we're only talking about this temporary phase of people walking for a few seconds, a few minutes, going to the chotzer. Like Kavrish Yubashim, so that's really not a concern. But standing on the chotzer, which could be Zman Harbe, oh, that's a concern about the integrity of the kuchen down below. This is when I have another problem, if you're talking about making the kuchen into the chotzer, that is, in the walls of the chotzer down below. This is Hotanan. I have a Mishnah. What's stated in the Mishnah? Mishnah Mesechtes Oy Holois. Chotzer HaKever HaOymed the toichoy is tohar. Someone who's standing in the chotzer akeva, the chotzer being this chotzer vav al vav, someone who's standing there is tohar. Now, what does that mean? What are we talking about?
It's not connected to the...
It's not connected to the kuchen down below.
Right.
And therefore he doesn't become tummy.
Right.
So if you look quickly at the Rishbam, he says the beginning of the Mishnah, which the Gemara doesn't quote, talks about a person that wants to participate in this levaya, but he doesn't want to get tummy. So he is being transported b'shida teva u'migdal, which had the dimensions that it wouldn't allow tuma to enter. So if you look at Rishbam v'su, that's the fifth wide line. Then dimtaloyim b'dav shloi chayish. Even if you're going to tell me, I'm not worried about people standing there. They're going to do a good job. These grave diggers know what to do. They'll put a little cement on the top and the bottom. It'll be strong enough. Don't worry about it. No. Hatanam behedjim. Person that entered into the chotzer by being transported in a shidu tevel migdal, this one of these hermetically sealed boxes, if you will. He's now on top of the chotzer. And what is he doing? Mesh over al gabi ma'oris for Reb Shimon, because according to Reb Shimon, you have to go over the ma'oris since in the all four directions. V'ashem oimid b'chotzer akeva, tohar. The ein kan kuch. In other words, were he to go and remove himself now from the Shidu Teva Migdal and stand there on this chotzer spot, the parking area, the landing area, there's no kuchen over there. And therefore he's going to remain tohar. Then Isa, if you're going to tell me that we do dig out kuchen down below underneath the chotzer, he does have a problem. It's not a problem according to the Chacham, because the Chacham don't add those two additional kuchen. But if you're telling me that the placement of the kuchen is the right and the left of the staircase where you're going down, which by definition means into the chotzer, underneath the chotzer, then you got a problem, because all the people standing on top of the chotzer are now standing on top of two kuchen below. Don't they become tamei? It's a freight of Barry. Didn't we say on the Amud Beis, according to Rishbam, that that's why you have seven tvachim of avir, one extra avir? Right. So you're asking an excellent question. All the Rishonim and Achronim talk about that, and they all point to the Tosis here on the side. If you look at the second Tosis on Kuf Amud Beis, not on Kuf Aleph, but Kuf Amud Beis, the Roiman Shiva, Peter Shabin Shmuel, that's our Rishbam, she didn't have the problem of the Tuma remains, and doesn't go above, Umatami over Agava, it shouldn't be the Tama of the person on top. And it keeps the tum inside, it's not the kas v'oila, and you can go over, no problem. We just said now, if you do have a problem. So therefore what the Tosfos is saying is that what the Rishbam told us before, that they make the Roman Sheva, it's absolutely true. And the reason why they did it is to go and prevent the Tumah to be Bekas for oil. That only helps for Tumah min ha-Torah. And the Rabbanan, the person is still Tameh because of this Gzeira. So then, getting back to our Mishnah over here in Daf Kuf Aleph Omer Aleph, what it's saying is, the Chotra Kever Oymed Besoich is Tar, both Min HaToyra and Min Rabbanan is totally Tar, because there are no Kuchen underneath. How did he get to the Chotra in the first place? He went into one of these hermetically sealed helicopters called a Shita Teva Migdol, and now they reach the Chatzah, there's no tum around, you can stand on the Chatzah, just make sure not to get close to the meter, but if you stay away, you're okay, you can stand. Oh, but you told me because Reb Shimon that there are two Kuchen down below, and he's being mal on the Kuchen. Oh, Freit of Barry, well, it's not a problem, there's the extra Tefach. So the Teisvitz, that only takes away some of the Arais, it doesn't take away some of the Rabban. So therefore, Vaita, how would Reb Shimon say, you would put the two Kuchen in that wall, isn't that a problem?
How come they made a big deal about going to Israel, flying over to Israel, over Kfarim? In America, nobody ever said anything about flying a plane, whether you're going to over Cemetery or not.
And because these are all excellent questions, I have to speak to competent halachic authorities that are familiar with all the intricacies of Tumah, that is Oila, Pekasva Oila, Goyish Kvarim, Yiddish Kvarim, the certainty, the Sveikis, these are all excellent questions. But for our purposes, we have to just address today's Gemara, and we have to figure out, according to Shimon, where we're going to place those other two Kuch. So, Omer Yosef Reb Chanina, I have a good idea. The Ovid Lahu Kimin Nagar. Nagar is, we've had this many times, that's the carpet. Door bolt. What's a door bolt? If you have these large shuls or large wedding halls, and you have two large doors, what keeps those doors in place? Then you have the bolts that go down into the ground that holds the door in place. So they would go and dig out two kuchen underground that was kmin nagar, meaning it was a vertical kuch instead of horizontal kuch. We'd put the person down, standing up as if he was alive, into these two, where would these two kuchen be? They would go and be on the sides, where it wouldn't disturb the kuchen in the sides of the walls, and therefore you can make these two into the ground.
Is that
covered on Mace Dump? That's not how you cover a person. That's how you cover al Chamor, that you throw him into the ground standing up. By Ayid, you're supposed to have him lying down in a respectful manner. Azay Yishok to Gemara. Who was the one that introduced that? That was Rabbi Yochanan. So said Rabbi Yochanan. So I said, how do you do it? After all, Rabbi Shimon needs to squeeze in two more kuchen. How do you do that? Ta'avilu bekeren zavius. He puts it in the two corners. Now, what means that he puts them in the two corners? So again, if you look at the picture in the Rishbam, on the first picture that you have over there, it says Aleph in my Gemara. So I assume you all have the same Aleph. And you see in my Gemara, they've conveniently made those two kuchen a little bit darker. So you have four on the right, four on the left, three protruding there opposite the entranceway, and one to the right and one to the left that we squeezed in there in the Keren Zoviasin. So now that's how you have the extra two. Oh, I'm a chayah. Now I know where the extra two are. Frank Gemara, one second. Vanagi kuchen la dodi. I got a big problem. What's my big problem? In the picture, it looks fine and dandy. But remember that on the right-hand side, on the top of the uppermost kuch, we only left over a half an amma of space. And on the upper kuchen, on the right-hand side of the rightmost kuch, we left a half an amma of space. And the reason why we left those half ammas is for the integrity of the wall, for the kuch, etc. If you add the two half ammas together, you don't get more than an amma. And now we're going to go and try to squeeze into that amma a new oren, into that, but it's not, what's going to happen is all three kuchen are now going to go and merge. The one that's on the right, and the one that's facing you straight ahead, and the one in the corner, because there's not enough room for everything. How are you going to squeeze it all in? Between one kuchen and the other, the existing ones, the one on the right, you added that half an amma. On the one on the top, you added to its right the half an amma together with the other half an amma, most you only have one amma. So he says, okay, well that's one amma, is enough room. It's not enough room, because you're going to squeeze in that one amma, there's not going to be any space between that kuch and the one down below and the one on the left. The opening to all three kuchen are all going to be open. You know, it's not going to have the integrity of separate kuchen. Vanagi kuchen adadi. And now all these three recesses are basically merging, at least at the out in the front. And therefore, isn't that problematic? The Gemara says, you're absolutely right. And Omer Vashi, the only way that you can do it is b'mamik. What means b'mamik? I taka make them in the two corners that we just said. but not on the same level as the two kuchen, the one on the right-hand side and the one in front of you, but I'm going to go and make a recess somewhat below. The Gemara doesn't tell us how much below. Let's assume, since Rishbam said before that the height of these ma'aris were 4 amos, and let's assume that they put the kuch at the 3 amma level or so. So you're going to skip 1 amma, leave space of an amma, and you'll put 1 below. It's not that this kuch will be below the other kuchen. Rather, it's just going to be below the hollow space, not hollow space, but the filled up space of soil in between the kuch on the right and the kuch in front of you. Underneath that, go down 1 amma, be ma'amik, and go and make the very same recess and the same hole that you made for everybody else, but it won't be on the same level, it'll be 1 level lower, an amma or 2 lower, so it doesn't affect the integrity and stability of the space and the kuchen up above. And Rav Ashi says, and to Mujan Azeh, my pshat is 100% emes v'yatzv. How do I know? Diloy te mahachi arba ma'oris l'Rab Shimon hechi ovid lehu hakan nagi kuchen la'adadi. Now this is the issue that Barry was addressing about 15 minutes ago, and that is, don't we have a problem according to Rab Shimon, since you have ma'oris on all 4 sides, that kuchen are going to go and collide with one another? And if you look again at the picture on the Amud Aleph in the Rishbam, you'll notice you have the top picture of the Rabban, and you don't have that issue, because one Ma'ar is on the right, one Ma'ar is on the left, and never the twain shall meet. You have 6x6 in between. However, these 4 Ma'ar is down below, this beautiful formation, you'll notice each time when you get close from one Ma'ar to the other, you have that crisscrossing, which almost looks like a tic-tac-toe type of thing. Why do you have that? That's because the two kuchen on the, looking at the picture, the rightmost ma'ara, those two kuchen that's sticking out on the top, on the left-hand side, those are interfering with the two kuchen of the upper ma'ara, and they're going to hit and collide with one another. Why does it have to be the case? Because just looking at the dimensions, if you'd have a much, much larger chatzer, the chatzer would be 10 by 10, 20 by 20, so then even though you have ma'aris on all sides, they wouldn't go and hit one another. But since, by definition, these chatzer are only vav al vav, so then on the right-hand side, when you have your two kuchen sticking out, so those are going to hit the ma'ara directly on top of it, and the kuchen to the right of that ma'ara. So you're going to have that problem of the ma'aras intersecting. It's only going to go into 2 of them, because remember the length of each kuch is only 4 amos, so that if you go on the half an amma of the space, and then one entire kuch, one entire space, one entire kuch, another half an amma, okay, altogether that's 4, so it's only going to overlap and interfere with 2 kuchen on the other side, not with 3 or 4. Baruch Hashem, it's a small problem, but it's a problem. So how are we going to work it out? The way we're going to work it out is that wherever we have these kuchen which are going to collide with one another, we're going to have to make in one ma'ara a higher level, and the other ma'ara a lower level, so that they should not go and hit each other. Is up to Rav Ashi. Anyway, Rav Shimon has to come onto the multi-level of the kuchen where they interfere with one another. If that's the case, those 2 additional ones in the corners will also do the same thing. We'll make it slightly lower, so it doesn't interfere with the 2 kuchen above. So far, sounds good. But I have a nusr. I have a better answer. You know what you do? Don't make it square like we had it now, rectangular like we had it now, that kuchen go in one direction, kuchen the other direction, they hit each other. Go and make it like a harusa. Harusa means you make it at an angle. How would you make it an angle? So now you get to picture number 3. We had Aleph, Beis, and Gimel. We skipped the Beis. Beis showed you the overlapping of one kuch over the other. It's really 2 over 2, like we have on the Amud Aleph. Just giving you an example. But now we go down to Gimel down below. And what happens with Gimel down below? Look, you don't have crisscrossing, but rather we're going to make them all at an angle. Ooh, this is gewaldig. Let's try to count them all up. Okay, on the right-hand side, we have the 3 and that one that comes out in the corner. Forget about that. Let's continue on. You have 1, 2, 3, 4 for the bottom ma'ara. Now we go to the left-hand side, and we count out 1, 2, 3, 4 for the other ma'ara. So I have 8 kuchen, 4 on this side, 4 on that side, and notice none of them are colliding with one another. There's Sholom HaYisrael, Ahava Ach V'Sholom V'Reyes among the Mesim, and therefore everything is wonderful. So I don't have to go and do crisscrossing, I don't have to do up, I don't have to do down. It all works out beautifully.
Excuse me, but in the corners, in the branches of, you know, on the picture gimbal, so you have on the very far right, you have 3. Mm-hmm. Above that, you have 2, which seems to be opening into a common.
The 3 and the fourth one, that's the additional one that Reb Shimon adds each time to each corner. We're only focusing at the moment on what Rav Ashi said, that when the kuchen are hitting one another, aren't you going to have a problem of kuchen interfering with one another? Yeah. So Rav Ashi said, you have to go and dig them down below. Those 2 in each one of wherever they hit, you have to have 2 down below, so it won't be on the same level. So says now, Rav Huna, baby, sure, you don't have that problem. What you can go and do it is, you can go and make a kharusa, have both ma'arais work out, be constructed at the same time, all to an angle as opposed to rectangular. And since it's an angle, you can go and squeeze in the 8, the 4 from the bottom one, the 4 from the top one, the 4 from the right hand side, the 4 from the upper one, and the 8 will be in a nice formation. I know you're concerned about the structure. We're not finishing.
Okay.
Says the Gemara, even though on the surface that sounds logical and wonderful, but unfortunately, this is an error. The Gemara uses the term Berusa, and being a very nice way of saying, Berusa literally means that this type of explanation should be taught outside the Beis Medrash, because it's not fit and worthy to be discussed inside the Beis Medrash. So he could say that it was a mistake, a toyus, but we don't want to say about one of the Tanoim HaMeroim that it was a toyus. So we say, you know, this is a good shtickel toyus, but maybe you go and teach it another Beis Medrash, not here. So what does the Gemara say? What's the problem? Because Mechti, we're going to do simple algebra now. Kol Amsa Biribua Amsa Trechum Shibalach Soina Kama Havalu Chatzrei V'chumsha Kuchen Kama Hava Tamanya Tamanya V'chatzrei V'chumsha Echem Mishkach Esla El Hadar V'n Rebbe Yeshua Berusi. What is this all pshat? So again, going down to picture number Gimel, and we're going to go and do a very simple algebraic calculation, and that is the bottom Ma'ara, the top of it, the length from right to left is how many Amas?
8
Amas. Why? Because we're talking Aliba Durib Shimon, and the Ma'ara on top is also 8 Amas. So what you could do is draw a hypotenuse from the upper Ma'ara to the lower Ma'ara, from the corner of the upper Ma'ara down to the corner of the lower Ma'ara, make an isosceles triangle where on the left hand side you have 8, on the bottom you have 8, and you have the hypotenuse. The question is, how long is that hypotenuse? So Rashbam tells us the Pythagorean theory that you have 1 squared x, a squared plus b squared equals c squared. What's the a and the b over here? The a is the left hand side. Let's assume it would be 1. Let's go and take the 1 down below. Let's assume that would also be 1. So 1 squared plus 1 squared would then equal 2. How would that equal 2? Because if you take 1 squared is 1 times 1 is 1. The 1 down below is 1. Now if you go and add them together, a squared plus b squared equals c squared, that equals 2. So that means that the hypotenuse is equal to 2. How is the hypotenuse equal to 2? Because that's 1.4 times the 1 and the 1. And if you take 1 point, in other words, we're doing the square root of 2. The square root of 2 is 1.4 and a little bit more. Because as Simi will tell us, when you multiply 1.4 times 1.4, you get to roughly 1.96. And therefore, if you added 1.4 and a little bit, you'd get to 2. But make it simple, we're just rounding it to 1.4 times 1.4. So therefore, anytime you have such an isosceles triangle, if the left-hand side is 1, 1 squared, the bottom is 1, 1 squared, 1 squared plus 1 squared will equal to 2. And therefore, the 2 is that c squared. What's the square root of that c squared of that 2? It's 1.4. And therefore, as a general rule, anytime you have that type of triangle where both the length and the width, the top and the bottom parts equal each other, then the hypotenuse will be 1.4, whatever that was on the left.
Yeah,
on the right. Exactly. So now, since we're talking about it's 8 on the right and 8 on the left, or 8 on the top and 8 on the bottom, so now what would be the hypotenuse? We have to multiply 8 times 1.4, or 8 times 1 and 2 fifths. That's pretty easy. 8 times 1 equals 2, more or less 8, right? 8 times 1. And now we're doing 8 times 2 fifths, that equals 2. 16 fifths, right? 8 times 2 is 16 over 5. 5 into 16 gets you to 3 and a fifth, right? Everybody agree to that? Because 5 into 15 is 3, 5 into 16 is 3 and a fifth. If you add 8 plus 3 and a fifth, how much do you have altogether? 8 11. Plus 3 and a fifth is 11 and a fifth. So therefore, the hypotenuse of this triangle that we've just made now is altogether 11 and a half amos wide. But I got a problem. I'm trying to bury 8 kuchen. In between the 8 kuchen, there have to be at least spaces of 7 amos. And the 8 kuchen themselves are 8 amos. 8 plus 7 is 15. How can I squeeze 15 amos worth of kuchen and spaces in an area which only has 11.2 amos altogether? 11 and a fifth. And that's what the Gemara is saying. Now again, mechti, kol amsa biribua. Anytime you have this type of square, or this type of triangle, where both sides are the same size, kol amsa biribua, amsu trechom shibalachsoine. It comes out to 1 2/5, 1.4 in the alachsan, in the hypotenuse. Is kama havaluhu. So how much do I have now? I have 8 times 1 2/5. That's chad surei, that's 11. The chumsha and a fifth, like we said before, 8 plus 3 1/5 is 11 1/5. Kuchen kama havaluhu. How many kuchen are we trying to squeeze in? Tamanya, 8. Tamanya, for that you need 15 amos. Tamanya b'chad tzvei b'chum sheichem ishkachas. How can you possibly squeeze 8 amos of kuchen and 7 amos of space, which is 15 amos, into 11.2 amos? It doesn't fit. Even though on the surface it sounded great, but l'maisa it doesn't work. V'boy yisim, and I have a final pshat. How do I find space for those two additional kuchen according to Reb Shimon? Can Omer Reb Shimon Reb Idi ben Nipli? It's talking about Nephilim. Achanami ben Nipli. What the Gemara is saying is
they need smaller spaces.
Exactly, and especially in the good old days. The good old days weren't so good in many respects. There were many, many more Nephilim than we have today. But even today, there are unfortunately many miscarriages. And when you have a miscarriage, you have Nebuch either a fetus or a stillborn child, which obviously is much, much smaller in length and in width and in height, etc., than a regular human being. Oh! So that's where they made those two additional kuchen. So you don't have to go and talk about intervening higher, lower recesses, the heen and the hair. You don't have to go on to the mamik. Those two kuchen that we spoke about, we'll take and do it like we have in the picture on top, to the right and to the left. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He said that it's going to interfere with the kuchen to the right of it and to the left of it. No. What you do is you make a small little kuch, a small little orain, a small little space to go and squeeze in a nafel, so it won't interfere with the kuch on the right and the kuch on the top. V'atem adeikim b'Hashem aleikeichem chayim kolchem ayoyim v'mchanan yibin akasha oymerot zakudish baruch hu lezakas is Yisrael.